This upcoming weekend, MLS Next Pro, a third division pro soccer league here in North America, kicks off season three. Most MLS Next Pro teams are connected to a first division team in Major League Soccer, and they compete against one another, creating another step in the pro player development pathway. Hello, everyone. This is Rev Brad. You're listening to the Soccer Chaplains United podcast from the Touchline. Today, I'm joined by special guest Jubal McDaniel, who is chaplain to the Tacoma Defiance and Soccer Chaplains United's very own Pacific Chaplain Manager, and Jonathan Hyde, chaplain to Chattanooga FC. Each of these guys is a volunteer chaplain with Soccer Chaplains United, and they're serving their MLS Next Pro teams. Today's pod, we're going to take a look at the season that lies ahead for this ever-evolving, ever-growing league. It's Jonathan's first time on the pod, so we're going to get in a fun game of crosses with Rev with him. Stay tuned. We throw the ball in right after this.
Just a little off foot, thinking he's going to go far post. Not strong enough with his right hand.
Whips that one in. Far post, almost made him in, and they have. He has the hat trick. The second in his career. The third of the night. The hat trick hero.
Talked about you not going to be able to sustain that kind of pressure.
To the corner. Goes towards the near post. And you're the angle, and what a goal! What a goal!
Well, guys, welcome to the podcast. I'm super excited about this because I'm super excited that MLS Next Pro gets going in its third season now. I can't even believe that. And what's really cool for us, for me, is Soccer Chaplains United, as most of you will know, hopefully you know, we had a chaplain in NISA and Chattanooga FC. They have come over to MLS Next Pro. And so first time on the podcast, Jonathan Hyde, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. And Jubal McDaniel, the cool, exciting thing for me is that this year, what season is this for you with Tacoma?
Number four.
And if you missed it last December, we named Jubal our Pacific Chaplain Manager. So he is helping me to support and offer development opportunities for chaplaincy in the West Coast of the U.S. And he's been a great, great friend, great to add to the team in a way, and he's killing it. So guys, it's us today. You know, a little disappointed that Rev Kev couldn't break away from his church projects to join us. But here it is, the three of us, and we're going to talk MLS Next Pro today on the pod. So welcome again.
Thank you.
Jonathan, let's start with you, because Chattanooga FC, you guys have a great long history of soccer in Chattanooga, but you guys haven't always been MLS Next Pro. And so walk us through real briefly, CFC, how long have you guys been around, and how did you guys end up being an MLS Next Pro?
Yeah, so I believe 2009 or 2008, because we had 15 years last year. A group of guys in Chattanooga that all kind of moved there and really liked the city, wanted and kind of played either, you know, high level soccer in high school, some college players, but really wanted to keep playing and developed Chattanooga CF or Chattanooga Football Club as like an amateur soccer team. And those early days, it was, you know, a lot of fun, but very, you know, low budget. Anybody who could kick a ball could kind of be on the team. And then 2017, 2018, a lot of other circumstances, but kind of CFC felt that they were ready to pursue a professional football club instead of just semi-pro or amateur. And that led them to getting into NISA. We played with NISA for 3 years. And then I think just with the success and the support that Chattanooga has given CFC, I think there was always a little bit of a push of you know, how does this club grow and what does growth look like? And it just kind of became obvious from my understanding with conversations that you know, CFC was having with MLS Next Pro, that it just made sense from the growth of the club standpoint, that MLS Next Pro was really a bright spot for CFC and made a lot of sense for, I think, both organizations. And so I know that, you know, from our perspective, CFC's perspective, you know, we're very, very excited for this season coming up.
Yeah. And for those of you that don't know, I mean, it's an interesting story, isn't it, Jonathan? Just even the history, because there are two clubs in Chattanooga, and there's a little bit of history on some of that, which is kind of, I'd say, it's a little difficult if we're honest, because CFC was there and then another club moved into the city kind of overnight. And there's a little bit of controversy. I mean, or, you know, at least there was, forget the year, was it 2018, 2019 or so, that the Red Wolves kind of moved into Chattanooga as well.
And yeah.
Yeah. That's so when we talk about, it's like almost an instant rivalry overnight, which, yeah, if you want, you can go to Wikipedia or some of the research pages and figure out the different history. But Jonathan, has that been something that you've, I don't know, how have you navigated that or understood that just from your own time in Chattanooga?
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's interesting because it's there's a little bit of comedy there, because it's a very big rivalry between two teams that will probably never play each other. And so, yeah, I mean, I think some of it, you know, some of CFC moving into MLS Next Pro, you know, is kind of does hinge on the fact that that other club didn't want CFC to join USL, and they kind of had property rights. I don't know the radius that they have, but they kind of get a yes or no for a club to join USL, and they said no for CFC. And so MLS was in some ways our real only move upward. Okay. But I do think, again, I think it's such a great fit for CFC. I do wish that the other club and CFC could play at least once, and maybe the U.S. Open Cup provides that opportunity. Sure. But it is a little, but I would also say, I think from our perspective, from CFC's perspective, the attention or the time or the headspace that's given to that is minimum at best. It's one of the things that makes the organization so good, is they are just so focused on CFC as an organization, as a brand, as a soccer team, as community engagement. And so all of our time is really spent on how can CFC be the best soccer club for the city of Chattanooga and maintain, you know, the original idea that we weren't just going to be a soccer team in Chattanooga, but that we were going to be a part of the everyday life and the feel. And, you know, we CFC strives so hard to be ingrained and intertwined into the city of Chattanooga. So I think, there's so much energy that goes into that. I don't think at the end of the day, there's enough energy to be really spent on a club that we don't ever play.
Sure, sure. Jubal, talk a little bit, because Tacoma Defiance is quite unique. A lot of MLS clubs, or many, are naming their two teams just simply Rapids 2, Earthquakes 2. But Seattle have done a little different. Talk a little bit about the history of the Tacoma Defiance. And, you know, even as we're on the interview, we're talking today, I'm seeing the logo that shows up on your Zoom profile. And talk a little bit about what makes Tacoma Defiance unique, distinct, and how did they get there? How did they get to that point? Because they used to be called Seattle too, didn't they? If I'm correct.
Yeah, before the Defiance days, they were locally known as just S2, and yeah, they were playing at Starfire, training at Starfire, just like, you know, kind of the Sounders were, and especially in their Open Cup times. And then kind of, you know, late, I would say, you know, 2000, after 2010-ish, you know, they kind of moved down to Tacoma eventually, mm-hmm. with the idea that there was going to be kind of this separate identity that was based in Tacoma rather than Seattle. With the hope of building a stadium that was soccer specific in the area. Okay. And a lot of that changed, unfortunately, during the pandemic and some of those things. And so they wrapped up, during COVID, wrapped up their time at Cheney Stadium in Tacoma, and then moved back up to Starfire, two seasons ago. And, have just been based out of there. Which is in some way caused still a bit of confusion because they're no longer in Tacoma but continue to be branded as the Defiance. With no, there isn't a specific date or a time frame in terms of changing that to Sounders 2. But we have, the Sounders went through a rebrand last season. And so I think something may be coming here in the near future. But for now, it's continued to be. I think it gives the club and team a little bit of a different edge in that way, because they do play with this Tacoma like defiance on their shoulders, right? Like they
What
play with
is that, Julian?
edge.
What is that defiance, that defiant attitude? What's that about?
Well, I think, somewhat the logo itself, speaks to that. You have the bridge in Tacoma that leads to Gig Harbor that local legend has, said about this Kraken that lives underneath the bridge.
Okay.
But the Tacoma narrative, right? It's a shipbuilding city, it's a port city that has for a long time been very blue collar, very edgy. The city itself, is always seen as kind of the younger gross stepbrother to Seattle. So it's in itself, it's always trying to punch up and trying to assert itself. And it's very hard, right? It's hard-nosed. And so that's really a lot of what Tacoma brings to their play, is sort of this hard-nosed, aggressive, not going to give an inch type of mentality. And that very much continues to this day.
Wow. What's interesting, it'll be interesting to continue to watch the evolution and the development of both of these clubs, CFC and Tacoma Defiance, but here you have teams that really are integrated or have been integrated into their community. And it's going to be curious for me, Jubal, to see, yeah, what happens to Tacoma Defiance. So guys, let's talk a little bit. How did last season finish up for your teams? Jubal, how'd you guys end for Defiance in the MLS Next Pro? Because that was that your second season in MLS Next Pro? You guys had been USL Championship, and there was a time for teams to kind of finish out their USL time and transition into MLS Next, but or MLS Next Pro. But how did it end up for you guys last year?
Yeah, so we missed out on the Western Conference final by one game, where we had been in the conference final the year before. And so the last two seasons, so really since the inception of MLS Next Pro, we've kind of been knocking on that door and have continued to progress and push and be in the conversation, especially towards the end of the season. And so there's still some hunger. I mean, there's a lot to know that money has been left on the table in a sense. And we just continue to push and try to achieve that championship that we've been longing for.
Sure. Jonathan, how about for you guys for CFC? How'd you guys finish in NISA last year?
Well, we ran away with the regular season championship, and then in the semifinals, and knowing kind of where we were heading already, with MLS Next Pro, but also knowing that every other team in NISA was rooting against us, in the semifinals, we had in regulation time, we had 9 shots hit the post and not go in, and then ended regular time and overtime at a 0-0 draw, and then unfortunately also just had a very unlucky PK time and ended up losing in the semifinal, and was heartbreaking for a lot of those players. A lot of those players knew moving into MLS Next Pro they weren't going to be signed more than likely, or there was just a lot of doubt or unknowns there. A lot of those players, there was a possibility that just because of age, this was their last real professional game. Very, very heartbreaking end of the season, just with all of the success that they had to have it kind of go that way. A lot of grown men in tears. on the field after that.
Yeah, for our listeners, some that maybe aren't familiar with football or soccer, especially at these levels, is that you don't know when your last game is usually, and sometimes you do get a chance to see it coming, and even then you can give all that you have, and you can have had a fantastic season. I think CFC's a great last season was a great example of this. That coming down to it, the storybook ending for many of those guys would have been to make the final, to win the final, to win the championship, and then to ride off into whatever sunsets that they were destined for, and couldn't, it didn't happen. It couldn't happen. And so I think this is one of the spaces, Jonathan, I want you to speak to this here in a second, but this is one of the spaces where the chaplain comes in and can offer support and encouragement and help an athlete realize that their identity doesn't necessarily need to be down to one game or one missed kick or one missed opportunity, that it's greater and bigger than that. They're loved and seen and known for more than that. But we do walk alongside those who are weeping at a loss. They're grieving because a chapter in their life comes to an end and maybe they just weren't ready for it. And so I don't know, Jonathan, maybe you could speak to that kind of in some general broad brushstrokes. How was it for you to be there in that environment, to be supporting these athletes and coaches who knew it was the end of kind of an era, end of a chapter, at least for CFC, and moving on, that we're going to have to say goodbye and it's just not going to be the same. Maybe share with us what was that like for you in that space as a chaplain?
For sure. And it was, you know, going into that game and going into, especially after the first three PKs that we had hit the crossbars and didn't go in, and just knowing that the inevitable was there. There was a part of me that I wanted to be emotional as well, because these were, you know, these were guys that I had become friends with and built relationships with and knew how much they cared about it. And for our listeners who maybe don't have a day-to-day insight to some, you know, professional athletes, I think one of the things that would shock people is just how singularly focused most of these players really are. If you had a conversation from even a faith perspective with another, you know, an average 27, 28 year old and said, you know, what can I be praying for you about? You know, they may give you, you know, relationships, work, you know, a plethora of things in their life that they kind of care about. And with a lot of these players, when you ask them that question, the only answer they're going to give you is, you know, soccer, my career, you know, staying healthy, being able to play at a high level. It is such a singular focus for them. And again, so much of their identity wrapped into that, some because it's demanded to play it at such a high level. And so where we sit and where I would go onto the field is at the opposite ends of the stadium. And I just remember the walk there and just really having to kind of on some level put on the title of chaplain, walking down into that, onto the field, and knowing the heartbreak, knowing the loss, but knowing that, like, it wasn't my time to be sad about, you know, the club's loss, knowing that it was my time to step in and be a little bit more stoic, a little bit more caring, a little bit more pastoral, and being able to, you know, squeeze a guy's shoulder and say, man, I know it hurts, to hug a guy that's crying and be like, man, like, let's mourn in this moment. And then after that, over the next few weeks, having conversations with guys around that loss, around identity, what that means, but also for a lot of those guys, because of the context we were in, knowing that these guys weren't coming back to Chattanooga, and then also not really knowing where they were going to end up. But again, having that conversation about, you know, your identity, who you are, isn't marked by just that single game. And even for a club, that loss, as heavy as it was, doesn't negate winning the regular season, winning the Independence Cup, having a really good run in the US Open Cup, and just having a very, very special season. Trying to help them understand or even see, like, you know, as hard as that loss was, this was still a very special season. And the players, like, for the most part, all understand that. And I think the players who have come back who I've had conversations with, they understand that that last season was just a very unique time for that group of men. I think that all of those guys will look back at the 23 season with incredibly fond memories, and you know, tell their kids and friends and you know, future family just about the uniqueness of that season for them.
Yeah. Jubal, I know too, as we've traveled together, that there's been, you know, for you, you've had to capture some of those transition moments, transition times. And I recall, well, a couple of years ago, you did something special for the team to kind of help capture that memory. Share a little bit about what that was like to try and capture for each player and staff member a little bit of the uniqueness of that year, that season.
Which year are you referring to? Forgive me.
Well, you did. Didn't you do the pictures and the framed pictures 1 year?
Was that
when you guys were coming out of championship into MLS Next?
Yeah, that was our first year of MLS Next Pro, and it was headed into right in the playoffs as we kind of started that journey, and. It was just a framed graphic with each player's name, their number, kind of a picture of them along with the team logo, and a statement just that I am defiant. And the purpose behind that was just a reminder that there, again, this whole mantra, this team collective, is behind this belief that we are defiant, and we can be defiant as individuals and as a collective. And there's this kind of uniting feature behind that we not only can bring strength from ourselves, but then when we come together, it gives us that added unity.
Yeah, I think sometimes, again, as a chaplain, because we're not always in the rigor of the season, the same way that the athletes and coaches are, you know, we're able to bring a different perspective. And what I love about what you did there, Jubal, was you captured in a moment and for a moment for these people, the significance of, hey, we may never be here again. We may never be in the same team or collective, and, you know, a chapter's changing. But here for this moment is something that it's a stake in the ground. It's a maybe a memento or something, a reminder of your time, and it helps humanize a little bit, I think, our time and their time in the sport, and that's what I love about some of the work that our chaplains get to do, is like offering that perspective, being there in that moment, as you said, Jonathan, to put an arm around, to give a big hug to sometimes be that stable force that in an industry of instability, we can be that even keeled kind of person to support people. So thank you guys for the work that you do amongst these people. Well, let's talk a little bit now about MLS Next Pro for 2024. And Jubal, I want to hear your perspective, because one of the things that's happened now, Chattanooga FC comes in. There's a couple other what we call independent clubs coming into MLS Next Pro. So there's been this realignment of the conferences and the teams. And I'm just curious, from your perspective, Jubal, what's that impact? Is it going to help to have, I don't know, is it more localized? Like you'll have more games against more localized opponents. I know Kevin's been here in Colorado complaining. He's like, I won't get to see Jubal as much, or put a little friendly wager on the game as much against Jubal. But what's that doing? The conference realignment. What's that doing from your perspective as a chaplain?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, the conference is, you know, still relatively the same in terms of we play, you know, kind of a lot of the same teams. The real major shift is that we saw we play kind of those stronger teams only once rather than twice. You know, for example, we open this weekend against Austin on Friday. We're away, so they're the ones that knocked us out last year, went on to win the championship, and then we only play Rapids two twice or once this season, and so that's another change. You know, those two teams and us were at the top of the conference last year, and have been kind of really these last two seasons of MLS Next Pro. So it in a sense, it does make it a little bit easier for us in that, you know, we don't necessarily compete as much against those teams that are traditionally at the top of the table. Our travel is somewhat limited, in that it re kind of realigns us more along to the West Coast, playing the LA teams. We do travel to North Texas and Houston a little bit. But you know, it really kind of just realigns us that way. But other than that, there really isn't too much change, in that we can see. We still have competition against a lot of the other teams that we've traditionally played against.
Jubal, who would you say then, with the realignment, with the number of games, does Tacoma have a new rival? I'm looking, and it looks like May, the whole month of May, you guys are totally on the road. You guys play Real Monarchs a couple times, actually three times, but the LA teams, the California teams, like who becomes that? Is it Timbers too? Are they really the rival because of the Seattle-Portland rivalry, or who for you becomes that staunch rival that you guys, you know, the guys are going to get up for that game?
Oh, that's a good question. I think for us, it's probably a toss-up between St. Louis and Minnesota, actually. These two teams, and especially Minnesota last year, I mean, I said this in the podcast going into the playoffs last season, that Minnesota is such, they're so unpredictable, and that makes them extremely hard to play against. Is that they go through waves, but you know, they can look in the midst of a slump and then just come in and punch you in the mouth. So they're a team that you can't write off at any point because they'll just do crazy things out of the blue. And St. Louis is continually, you know, they're steady, they're constant, they're a strong team, they're tough to play against. I think those two teams for us have traditionally presented some hard challenges. You know, it's a lot of travel going away to their place. And they're tough to play home, they're tough to play here. So those two teams, I think, for us continue to be someone to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Nice. Now, Jonathan, you're new in MLS Next Pro, so we might give you a little bit of a pass, but maybe you already have a sense of who a natural rivalry is going to be for CFC. Is there something around the club where everybody kind of knows, like, hey, this is a club that our games are going to get up? And I'd say too, for those listening, not knowing exactly all the nuance of MLS Next Pro, so Chattanooga and Tacoma will not see each other in the regular season. They won't see each other until they, you know, if both teams make the playoffs and somehow play against each other. You know, it's interesting that that's kind of a different dynamic as well. Although that's existed, I think last year the Eastern Conference wasn't playing Western Conference. But Jonathan, you guys being in the East, who is that natural rivalry, or maybe you have a couple rivalries that you can see?
Yeah, for sure. So you know, we open up at home with Huntsville, and that would seemingly be just from a distance. There's a little bit of competition in city size and who the, you know, cooler city is or who has the best local breweries, etc. That would seem like a pretty obvious one, but we also do have some history, you know, as kind of a little brother to Atlanta United. You know, we played them in a preseason game last year and pushed them pretty hard. We've seen Atlanta teams, you know, just as an Atlanta market, throughout the history of CFC, there have been Atlanta clubs that we've had a little bit of a rivalry with. But I also think too, whether it's whiteboard material, if it's real or not, you know, I think right now where CFC's coming in to MLS Next Pro, we're ready to have a rivalry with everybody. I think there's a certain sense that, you know, being an independent club, some of the rhetoric from the coaching staff and the players is, you know, everybody wants to see us fail, right? That everybody wants CFC to stay, to be at the bottom of the table. And so I think, you know, right now from a player's perspective and a coaching perspective, I think, you know, they're welcoming any and all teams to be a rivalry because they want to come out with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. I think there's a little bit of a sentiment, both even locally with some of our fan base, not really understanding why we were moving to MLS Next Pro. And even if you looked at some of the comments or message boards around that move, a lot of people, you know, kind of nationally didn't really appreciate or understand the move. So I definitely think, you know, from a rivalry perspective, you know, anybody who wants some, I think could come get some on some level.
I love it. I love the attitude, Jonathan. That's fantastic. What's interesting, again, for those that don't know, a lot of MLS Next Pro teams are tied into an MLS team. And so there's a natural pathway. You go from academy, then into your two or your affiliated club, and then up into the top tier team. Chattanooga as an independent club, and there's a couple other independent clubs. I was asking one of our folks, I was like, what is the, why bring in these independent clubs? And essentially the sell point is these guys can now, their pathway could be multiple clubs. Whereas, you know, a person that's in the Rapids Academy system that goes to Rapids 2, that goes, you know, the Rapids retain the rights. Someone at CFC, a brilliant player, now all of a sudden has much more options in terms of getting into another system around Major League Soccer and getting into completing their dream of playing pro soccer at a certain level. That's really an advantage that CFC has. And I think that could be too, Jonathan, why you say there's a sense of, let's see this independent club fail, because we don't want to see them successful because they don't have as much resource and support maybe around themselves as an independent club. I think that's a really interesting thing to watch as we see these independent clubs enter into the MLS Next Pro landscape. Do you have a sense of that, Jonathan? Is that something that, I don't know, sometimes as chaplains, we're not even aware of all this hoorah, but yeah, is that, I don't know, is that something that's come up?
Briefly in conversations, but yes, I mean, again, I think that there is a sense within CFC as an organization, as a fan base, coaching staff, and player level, that yes, that nothing would make a lot of the, you know, MLS top tier teams and organizations that have somebody in the MLS Next Pro, you know, looking at these independent clubs and going like, yeah, they're, you know, they shouldn't have success, and let's make sure they don't have success. And I think from our perspective, you know, we're coming in and being like, you know, we've always been on some level thought of as other than, and just, you know, historically, you know, playing some bigger clubs or people wanting us to fail. Again, I think we, or even having it, you know, being a few seasons as CFC still semi-pro amateur with the other professional team in town, you know, there was even some, you know, fan base that moved over because they wanted to support a professional team and not a semi-pro amateur team. And so we've been here before as an organization. So I think, you know, there's definitely a, you know, again, it could just all be whiteboard material and you know, you got to have that as well. But definitely, I think across the board, fan base, you know, front office, coaching staff, players, there definitely is a little bit of, you know, little brother mentality coming in and wanting to, you know, want to punch big brother a little bit and, you know, show them what we got.
Yeah, prove themselves. Well, Jonathan, what else for you, like for CFC, what's been some of the changes that you've seen? Because, you know, there are differences from league to league. So NISA to MLS Next Pro, I imagine there's been, yeah, quite a few things that you've been able to see. You've already mentioned that several players knew they probably weren't going to return due to age. MLS Next Pro is a much younger kind of league. I'd say it's very developmental in some of its purposes and plans and designs. But what are some of the other changes that you've seen around the club, the organization, just in the transition from NISA to MLS Next Pro?
Yeah, the one that seems most obvious is just a certain level of intensity within the players. Just even last year, you know, an interesting thing for me is I came in about a third of the way through the season last year. And so there was a lot, you know, I was kind of coming in and having to prove myself to all of the guys on the team, and everybody was already well established in their friendships and relationships. And I'm kind of coming in almost middle of the season as kind of this new thing that they had never even had before with the chaplain at CFC, or they had had some in the past, but they didn't the previous season. And most of those players didn't really know what that meant or why I was there. And so building some of those friendships and doing those friendships as you often would, and being like, hey, let's go grab lunch, let's have a coffee, et cetera. And the interesting stark thing for me is that this season is new players are moving into Chattanooga, and I'm already a part of that organization, and having those conversations and wanting to dig a little bit deeper and saying, hey, you want to go grab lunch sometime? And they're like, sure. You know, is there anything you like? And every time this season it's been, I'll eat anything as long as it's healthy. There's a certain sense around, you know, performance and optimization and just taking their role very, very serious. And I think, too, some of just the experience that some of these guys who are first-year CFC players are bringing to the table. You know, one of our defenders is getting called up in Trinidad Tobago to play in Canada in about a month. And he'll be playing for Trinidad Tobago in, you know, World Cup qualifiers. And where in the past with CFC, I think, you know, the talent pool or the experience was maybe had some guys that played, you know, maybe were in talks with an international playing internationally, but it never worked out because of injuries or just, you know, other reasons. But you've got some guys coming in now in the club that have played at the highest level of MLS. You know, we have a Colombian now that showed up a few weeks ago. He played, you know, for the New York Red Wolves. Or no, sorry, New York Red Bulls, Freudian slip. Freudian slip. I played with the Red Bulls, and then also played, you know, at Orlando City when Kaká was there. And so, just some of that level of professionalism is just, you can feel it in the way these guys approach practice, approach their lives, approach being off the pitch. But then even during practice, there just is a certain level of intensity, competitiveness, speed, that at least for me, I could be way off here, 'cause I, you know, I'm not an expert by any means on the soccer side of things, but everything just seems to be ramped up a little bit more, than what we had last year.
Sure. Jubal, how about for you now, you know, a few years into this, Tacoma's, you know, there's been some changes historically where they've, you know, started as Seattle 2, Tacoma. Now, what are some changes, some things that you're seeing now a couple of years into this that is growing for Tacoma?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that they continue to do that have remained somewhat of a staple or a foundation for them. And then there are a couple different things that have changed this season that are still kind of yet to see how it plays out, how it affects the team long term and in this season. In terms of the continuation piece, Tacoma has continued to be, in essence, tied in as much as they can to the first team, meaning that we see a lot of movement between the two. There's a lot of focus on trying to help those players move up and continue to progress through their own system. And in the same way, helping those academy players that are ready for that next level to have those opportunities. And this is something that I feel that makes Tacoma unique, is that while they have their Defiance brand, they really are so much, in essence, Sounders in everything else that they do, because the players are always moving up and given opportunities and are being able to have the ability to play and intermix with one another. And that gives us kind of a special unity, I think, to the team that makes them really unique, because everyone is together all the time. And so you don't really have this like back and forth and who's in and who's out, because they just play together all the time. And that's really, really powerful. For this season, we have a new coach this season, and it's been really exciting to see him working, see him building trust and to see him operating as kind of the head of this club, and really looking forward to seeing this season underneath his leadership and with a couple of new staff members that we have this year. Along the same lines, the team and club moved to their brand new training facility this off season at the Long Acres facility. This means that the Defiants now have their own separate kind of training area. They have their own locker room. They have their own weight room, right? Like, so there's this opportunity for them now to have their own space and not to feel kind of isolated, or like they're stepping on the first team toes or have to schedule around those things. They can have their own footprint and have a little bit more space to call their own, which for me really excites me about the guys, because they have their own space now. They can see that support and feel that appreciation and have a place to call home, that isn't or doesn't belong to someone else.
No, that's, it's interesting when our clubs, our teams are all together in a space. I mean, I see it out at the Rapids all the time. We've got first team training. The twos are training up on a field, and you're looking right across and you're going, man, maybe there's 10, 15 yards separating me from an elite Division One, football here in the US. And then you have academy teams that are playing throughout the day as or training throughout the day as well. So they're seeing a Rapids too, like, oh, those next steps become that much more visible and that much more clear, and you're starting to interact and move together, and you start to there's a bond that sometimes builds. I mean, last year I know with Rapids 1 and 2, we would host a joint group study, Bible study, and a lot of the first teamers and the second teamers, as they're interacting, there was this mutual sort of encouragement. You had guys that were like, keep working hard, and from the first team down to twos, and now some of those twos are playing this year for us in the first team, and it's just encouraging. I think sometimes when you can see that pathway a little bit closer, a little bit differently, it seems like the barrier, some of the geographical or spatial barriers, aren't as big as they might seem to an athlete who might be wondering, like, hey, will I ever make it to that top level, or to the level that I've been dreaming about for so long? So that's, I think that's going to play really well into the favor for Tacoma Defiance in Seattle, just even further in terms of, and I've noticed too, Jobel, it seems that Seattle really is good about signing and calling up and bringing up Defiance players. That seems to be historically, right? Like, there seems to be a lot of player movement that's happened.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's opportunities there. We see them. We saw a couple short-term loans last year, especially with some of the first team injuries, things that were happening for some of those MLS games. And then last year we had like a record three guys that were signed from Defiance to the first team during last season. So it absolutely continues to be one of the main focuses of the team and club.
Well, guys, we're running short on time, but we got two more little things to tackle here. Let's talk US Open Cup for a minute. And Jonathan, you guys are in. You already mentioned you guys had a good Open Cup run last year. Jubal, you guys aren't in. And we can talk a little bit about that. But Jonathan, who'd you guys crash out to last year?
Huntsville. No,
Okay.
sorry, Birmingham. I need to,
Birmingham.
that's, yeah, it was Birmingham. Yes.
So Birmingham Legion, USL Championship team. Yeah, just a different level. Like, remind us though, like, what was that like? I forget what round that was.
It was either the third or fourth round, and we've that was this has always been the round that CFC has always faced a little bit stiffer competition, and we've had some heartbreaking times because the next game would have put CFC in a competitive game against an MLS team. And last year we lost in penalties. So we played them hard throughout the whole game. You know, I think we walked away heads held high. Again, Birmingham the week before had played the other Chattanooga team and had drummed them up pretty badly. So I think there was also a little bit of walking away of that, of like, you know, we played Birmingham a little bit tighter than the other club in Chattanooga did. But again, you know, we've been in that round of the U.S. Open Cup a few times, and just have never gotten to go through. So I think, you know, every year there's a little bit of anticipation, and I think the fan base and the players, you know, really get up for the U.S. Open Cup just because of some of that success we've had, you know, historically, and even some seasons where we really surprised some people by making it pretty far. So I think we're really excited this year for the U.S. Open Cup to roll back around.
Yeah, and you guys take on Miami United FC. They're a team that play in the USL, so that'll be another shot at redemption and a shot to see too. Like, you know, how has the change of MLS Next Pro maybe had an influence on the club? But Jubal, you guys don't get a play, and this was kind of there was a little bit of controversy that happened late last year into this year about MLS teams not playing in the U.S. Open Cup. I think part of it, MLS feeling like the schedule was really, really heavy with CONCACAF Champions Cup and then Leagues Cup happening in the summer. And so MLS was just like, hey, look, we're not drawing fans. The games are really difficult. We want to send our two teams to play. But they kind of reached a compromise with U.S. Soccer. So Seattle Sounders are in, which means Tacoma can't play because they're part of the Sounders system. So I don't know, Jubal, like, did Tacoma play last year? I don't recall in the Open Cup, or did you have players that went up for Seattle and played in those Open Cup matches?
Yeah, we did have players that went up and played. Sounders were still in it. So yeah, we had players that went up and kind of played in some of those early games, which you typically had, you know, years prior to that. And I think, you know, a couple of things. I'm really glad that Sounders have maintained that relationship and want to play this year. You know, there's a lot of history with the U.S. Open Cup, especially with the Sounders organization as a whole, and in terms of their success and ability to play there in the Open Cup. And then I think it gives such a unique opportunity for these guys that are trying to move from the Next Pro into the first team level. It gives them such a unique opportunity to play those games, to prove themselves, to have the opportunity to be seen and play at that level. Because last year in that scenario became the platform, as I said earlier, for those guys to be on those short-term loans. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the starting point for them to have those opportunities. And so I think it's really important that we continue to do that. And so I expect this season that some of those guys will have those opportunities again, and we'll be able to see them play. It's a unique competition that gives them opportunity outside of MLS Next Pro games, because they don't get the CONCACAF, they don't get the Leagues Cup, they just get MLS Next Pro games. And so it's a little bit of a different feel, it's a different crowd, it's a different pressure, it's a different environment that brings, you know, some added mental challenges, but also we've seen guys step up and want to play in that environment and want to have that challenge and want to grow and do those things. And so it's a really unique opportunity, and I look forward to it this season.
Yeah. Yeah. As you say that, I'm recalling there's quite a few pictures out there, and I felt like Seattle, especially, they would do most of their Open Cup games at Starfire, a little smaller venue and a little bit more grassroots, you know, and you get people coming out and playing in this sort of smaller venue that, yeah, just seemed to really, I think there's a cool little history that Seattle has, different than other clubs, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see them continue and find pathways to success and winning. And Jonathan, for you guys too, a big challenge coming up, I think, what, next Tuesday, next week?
Yes, next Tuesday.
Wow. Well, great. Well, now, guys, we're getting into that time of the interview. Jonathan, your first time on the call. So we're going to play this game called Crosses with Rev. And what it is, Jonathan, just so you know, and I don't know how nervous you are, but you might be a little nervous. Crosses with a ref. It's essentially the idea is like we're serving balls into you, we're serving questions into you, and you're just pinging them. You're trying to score as many goals. You're trying to hit as many crosses in a minute's time. I'm going to rapid fire these questions to you. No pun intended, rapids. But I'm going to fire these questions into you. So let me set it up a little bit. There's an either or. It's almost like true or false. And you'll get a question that's kind of like, let me think of one that's not on here. Man United or Man City? And you go with your gut. What would you say?
Man City.
Okay. So I won't hold that against you, but I might hold that against you. So you say Man City. Maybe you hear the question and you're like, neither, because truthfully, you've got another club that you really care about and you hate both those clubs or whatever. You're welcome to say that. That's an acceptable answer.
Okay.
The question is too difficult because it's controversial in your mind. You don't want to be on the record for it. You can say pass. You'll lose the points, but you can say pass as well. And we move on to the next question as quick. And I'm going as quick as I can. Some of these questions might be a little long. Or longer. We've kind of established that. Jubal and Kevin were giving me grief last time. They're saying like the question asker was maybe a little bit lengthy, but it just is what it is. So the either ors are 1 point. The short answer questions, there are a few where you're filling in the blank. Those are worth 3. So you want to, again, just get through as many as you can in a minute's time. And you feel like you're ready for this challenge?
Oh, I'm ready. Let's go.
Jubal, have you got any words of encouragement? Now Jubal's currently sitting third place on the leaderboard, so he may not want to encourage you or give you any tips. But Jubal, you want to help a brother out, or you want to just go?
Yeah, definitely just go with your gut. Don't worry about the score. Just do your thing and have fun with it.
All right. Awesome. I've got to get my timer up here. So another caveat to this, Jonathan, is that if I start the question and, you still get an answer if I get that question in before the timer goes. Okay.
Okay.
I'll let you know when the last one is. And, we add in all the fun sound effects later. So, you don't have that advantage, but, we're going to get ready to go. So I'll start the timer after the first question is complete. Ready?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Here we go. Left-footed or right-footed?
Right-footed.
Your favorite EPL team is?
Aston Villa.
Dribble, pass, or shoot?
Pass.
Call or text?
Call.
NISA or MLS Next Pro?
MLS Next Pro.
Volkswagen or Amazon?
Amazon.
Memphis or Nashville?
Nashville.
Run, bike, or swim?
Swim.
My favorite post-game meal is?
Chipotle.
Brazilian wax or Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Arkansas State University or Baylor University?
Baylor University.
Tennessee or Texas?
Texas.
Brad or Ben?
Brad.
Messi or Ronaldo?
Ronaldo.
Mark Allen or Dave Scott?
Dave Scott.
Complete this line. Can you afford to board the?
SS Minnow.
Nope. Chipotle or Qdoba?
Qdoba.
All right, that's it. All right. Well, you did decent, but I heard Qdoba in there. Is that true? You said your favorite post game meal is Chipotle, and then I go Chipotle.
Yeah, we don't have Qdoba, and but we don't have Qdoba anymore in Chattanooga. But Qdoba doesn't charge you for guacamole. So. That's why I would prefer Qdoba over Chipotle.
Yeah. All right. Well, it looks like you're gonna finish with you missed the big one. So,
yeah. What is the answer to that?
Complete the line. Can you afford to board the Chattanooga Choo Choo?
Oh man, I should have known.
Yeah.
I don't even know that song. It's, I'm not a good Chattanoogan.
It's a Glenn Miller. Yeah. It's the Chattanooga Choo Choo. Song. So you're with 20 points. Man, if you had nailed that though, you would have had 24. You would have been in second place. So 20 points. Ooh. Coach Rod Underwood had 21. So
Oh, no, that's even worse. No
I
one wants
won't
to eat me
mention that.
alive.
I won't mention that on the next call with him. But yeah, we'll have to work through that. Well, good, fun playing. Let me ask you a couple other questions. Nike or Adidas?
I mean, if I'm a company man, I'm supposed to say Adidas, but I'm going to go Nike.
Yeah, I'm just curious. So for those that don't know, I encourage you guys get on our website and eventually our new website. Look at Jonathan's profile. But Jonathan, you enjoy doing Ironman triathlon stuff. You've trained and done competed in a few of those. Yeah, what
Yes.
do you wear Nike gear when you're running and going through doing your training, your triathlon stuff?
No, ironic. Well, Nike had a brief moment in the sun with triathlon apparel when Lance Armstrong moved over to start doing some Ironman stuff, but that got kind of cut short with that Oprah Winfrey interview. And he got banned from all endurance sports. And so Nike doesn't have a giant presence in the triathlon space historically. Over the last few years, their Vaporfly running shoe, they're one of their carbon plated shoes, you're seeing a little bit more on the run course. But you know, Nike doesn't make cycling apparel. They don't make cycling shoes, or at least outdoor cycling shoes that I'm aware of anymore. And so from a performance standpoint on the course, not a ton of Nike stuff anymore. There was a little bit again during like the Live Strong days, but that's all. I don't think you'd have to find all of that on eBay.
Oh, wow.
So Nike does not actually have a ton of offering in the triathlon world.
Yeah. That's interesting to know. So what is your go-to? Do you have a go-to equipment that you or supplier? I don't know. Do you kind of mix and match like just based on whatever feels right, feels best?
Yeah, feels right, feels best, and what was on clearance from previous season, typically.
Yeah,
Because it
fruit is
is an
my favorite flavor.
expensive hobby. And
Yeah.
so there's a brand called DeSoto. I actually think they make some of the best apparel for cycling, specifically when you're riding 112 miles. Protection in the loin area is paramount. And I think, as far as anything that I've ever had, or tested, I think DeSoto makes the most comfortable triathlon racing apparel. But then also just they're very clever in kind of how they put pockets and places to store your nutrition along the bike and the run. But then also too, if you've ever worn cycling shorts, you know that that can be a little hard, you know, to run in without feeling like you're running in a diaper. So they've just done a really good job of figuring out the bike and run portion, because you don't want to spend a lot of time changing apparel in an Ironman. So yeah, DeSoto brand, very big. If you're listening, would love a sponsorship. Specialized bikes and specialized cycling shoes would be what I wear on the course. And yeah, so that's that. Those are kind of the two brands, big ones. I'm currently running in Saucony Endorphin Pros on race day. Love them as well.
Nice.
And so, but yeah,
So
man.
are you doing Ironman Chattanooga? Because right there's one right there, right?
Well, there's two. So Chattanooga hosts a 70.3, which is kind of what's called the half Ironman. But I think official brand from Ironman is 70.3 in May. And then in September, there is a full. And so I'm actually headed in a few weeks to San Diego to race in the 70.3 Oceanside, which is a big, big race historically for the Ironman brand. And then I want to do one in the fall. My daughter is going to have a surgery at some point. We go into August to find out when. So kind of based on what we find out in August, I would like to race Chattanooga just because it's the closest, but I may have to defer that to either Florida or Arizona, which is in October, November, depending on when that surgery is going to happen. But ideally this year, Oceanside 70.3, and then have a good crack at Chattanooga Ironman, which will be their 10-year anniversary of hosting.
Nice. That's amazing. I have a pastor friend here who's training for the 70.3 in Chattanooga in
Oh,
May.
nice.
He's doing it with, I think, his son, and he said the training regimen right now is just kicking his butt. So
Oh yeah, I mean he's kind of peak. He should be at peak weeks right now. So yeah, I'm sure
I'll
he's.
tell him that. I'll tell him that. Hey, you should be at peak weeks right now. Go for it. Go for it. But yeah,
He's in his 50s and he's feeling his age, and I just applaud him because he's doing more than I do. I watch Iron Man on the couch. So anyway, guys, hey, just to wrap up, I want you guys to have an opportunity to just pray a blessing over your teams as they begin the league season, US Open Cup coming up as well. Tacoma, you guys are on the road Friday. I think you guys actually kicked the season off for MLS Next Pro against Austin 2. CFC, you guys are at home Saturday against Huntsville, which is the Nashville SC Next Pro team. And so just want to offer you guys, would you just pray over your teams, over MLS Next Pro as a league? And then I'll come in and close it up after you guys are done. And Jonathan, since you're first time into the league, into MLS Next Pro, we'll let Jubal start and I'll let you close it out.
Great.
Father, we thank you for this time of gathering and talking, having a little bit of fun, and talking about our upcoming season. Lord, in that same way, we lift up our teams to you. Lord, there are so many things that go into the start of the season, with logistics and travel and planning and preparation and injury prevention and just all of the different things, all of the details, all the small things. Lord, and we know that you're a God of the small things, and we know that you are watching over these people, Lord, that you are caring for them, that you are working on their behalf. And we look forward to seeing what you do this season, and how you work through lives and how you progress careers and impact these people. And so we ask that you continue to watch over them, Lord, that you would protect them, that you would guide them. I pray for specifically our staff members and admins, Lord, that have to deal with a lot of the political challenges that exist in the soccer scene this season. Lord, would you help them to remain focused on the day-to-day and on the small things and the things that really matter, and to not get carried away with a lot of the larger things that really can be distractions. And I pray that you would give them wisdom in those decisions, give them discernment, and help them to continue to move their teams forward. And we look forward to just a great season together.
Good and gracious God, we are so thankful for serving and belonging to such a wonderful and creative creator. And I'm often struck at how, when Jesus walked on the earth, you used a common thread of fishing to connect those early disciples and those early communities. And so much of the Gospels are filled with those images and connectedness. And we have this opportunity some 2,000 years later to use another common thread that is a global game of soccer. And I just am so honored and humbled to play a small part in caring for these players. And so first and foremost, God, thank you for this opportunity. And as we engage in this new season, I pray for safety for the players, that first and foremost that they would remain healthy. I also just again pray for coaches and for staffs who have to make the difficult decisions on a day-to-day basis, that you would give them guidance and wisdom. And for the CFC players who are coming into a new city, a new team, moving from all over parts of the world, I just pray that their hearts would feel at home sooner rather than later, and that we would help make them feel welcomed and wanted in our city. God, for all of these things, for this time with fellow chaplains, for all of the joy that you bring through the game of soccer, we just say thank you, and we are truly blessed to be a part of this. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Guys, thank you. Thanks for being on the pod today. Thanks for sharing a little bit of your heart, your vision, your stories with us. Jonathan, you need to go learn the Chattanooga Choo Choo song.
I do. I'm telling you right now, I'm gonna the fact that I lost to Rod by 1 point is gonna eat me up for most of this day. So
I know. It's hard. Don't hold your
head in chains for too long, though. Okay,
I'll see him Friday, so I'll make sure he knows. So.
Well, great. Well, hey guys, blessings on your teams as they kick off this weekend, and we look forward to blessings on your ministries as well as you serve and interact with these people, and just excited. And thank you guys for being part of Soccer Chaplains United. Thank you all for listening to the pod today. This has been Rev Brad along with Chaplains Jonathan Hyde and Jubal McDaniel coming to you from the Touchline.